6:06 on the Central Coast on this Tuesday, August 18th, 2020. Good evening. I'm Dave Congleton. Thanks for joining us. Tomorrow, we'll have our monthly book club meeting with Susan Hoffman. Find out what she's been reading, what you've been reading. Also, we're back with Dr. Morgan Philbin from Columbia University School of Public Health. We'll get the latest on COVID-19. Mr. Science has agreed to join us on Friday, so get ready for that. It is a Dave Congleton show, always your hometown radio talk show. This hour we spend with gun rights advocate and journalist Matt Hoy. His website is restrictedarms.com. We want to talk about this federal appeals court decision that came down last week. Mr. Hoy, good evening.
Mr. Congleton, great to be hearing you. Yeah. I wish I could be there in the studio, but we can't.
You'd like the air conditioning.
Oh yes,
it's nice and cool here. Yeah, were you surprised? Were you surprised by the decision? Were you expecting this?
I won't say I was completely surprised, just because, sadly, nowadays too much of these especially kind of contentious issues that come before the courts. Too often, you can tell how they're going to turn out based on who appointed the judges. And that's kind of the case here. I believe one of the judges in the majority was a Trump appointee, and I think the other one was a Bush 43 appointee.
So let's back up. What happened 3 years ago in California?
Well, this actually happened long before that. So let me give you a timeline. In 2000, the state of California banned what it called large capacity or high capacity magazines. That is any magazine for a rifle or pistol that holds more than 10 rounds, okay? And that was January 1st, 2000. It banned the manufacture, importation, and sale of those magazines. In 2013, they tweaked the law a little bit and said you cannot, it also banned the purchase and receipt of them. So you couldn't gift, you know, if your friend had a bunch of them, he couldn't give you one. And then, you know, 3+ years ago, 2016, California voters approved Prop 63. And Prop 63 made possession of these magazines illegal. It says they're a misdemeanor. You can get a fine for having one and up to a year in jail for each one you have. The previous laws had grandfathered these magazines in. So if you had a magazine that held more than 10 rounds that you got, for most people, in most cases, it was before 2000, you were able to keep it.
Yeah.
So this banned possession of them. It said if you possess them, you have until July 1st, 2017 to either destroy them on your own. You could sell them to a federal firearms licensee in the state of California who has a special license to that allows them to work with or deal with large capacity magazines. That's not every gun store. So it's just a smaller percentage of the gun stores could do that. You could take them out of state to a friend, a relative, or something like that. Or you could turn them into local law enforcement. That brought up the issue of, well, the state's taking my property and they are not paying me for it. You know, if you try and sell, you know, if everyone in California who had one of those large capacity magazines turned around and tried to sell it to one of these limited dealers, they're going to get pennies on the dollar if they're lucky.
Okay.
For those. So the California Rifle and Pistol Association, a bunch of other people, filed suit before the ban on possession went into effect on July 1st, on 2 days before, on June 29th of 2017. Judge Benitez, down, I believe he's down in San Diego, issued a stay on the law. He said, you know, you're not going to enforce the law until we've had a hearing. And they challenged the law on 2 points. They said it's a violation of the Second Amendment, right to keep and bear arms. Magazines are integral to, you know, magazines like bullets. If you don't have a magazine, you don't have a bullet. You know, having a gun is useless. So you know, part of the right to keep and bear arms means all of the parts that go into making an arm that you can use for self-defense. So he put a stop on that, had a hearing, and then in a bunch of court things back and forth, bunch of arguments, front of the court briefs, all that sort of stuff. And on March 29th of last year, Benitez issued a preliminary, issued a ruling on a, what do they call it? It's a preliminary injunction, you know, a summary judgment, that's what it is. Issued a summary judgment which said, this ban on, this blanket ban on large capacity magazines violates the Second Amendment and is therefore unconstitutional. And that started what was called Freedom Week. So for 1 week, from March 29th to April 5th of last year, it was legal to purchase, manufacture, order magazines that hold more than 10 rounds. And lots of internet gun sellers and whatnot kind of prioritized California orders during that time. And there's estimates that hundreds of thousands, if not more than a million or maybe a couple million, of magazines that hold more than 10 rounds were imported into the state during that 7-day period.
Wow.
After a week, Attorney General Xavier Becerra basically came to Judge Benitez and said, if you do not stay your order calling this unconstitutional, we're going to go over your head to the Ninth Circuit and get them to stay it. And Benitez at that point said, okay. And he crafted an order staying his finding that it was unconstitutional. But he did a very important thing is he protected people with that stay. He protected people who in good faith bought those large capacity magazines during that 1 week. So if you had purchased it but hadn't received it yet and it was still coming through the mail, that sort, or if you had received it, he basically said, as long as you bought it during that time, the state of California can't charge you for it. Mm. Can't charge you with breaking a law because the law was, he found it unconstitutional.
Right.
So that was last year. Goes before the Ninth Circuit. Ninth Circuit panel votes 2-1 Friday and says, Judge Benitez is right. It's unconstitutional. And they have not issued the mandate, which basically says, we find it unconstitutional, we send it back to the district court for further proceedings as necessary. So you can't buy or order a large capacity magazine right now and know that you are not going to be charged because, Xavier Becerra says, mandate hasn't issued. We still think this is, you know, we still think this law is valid. And if you buy something like that, we're going to prosecute you.
And before I take the break, Matt, the Attorney General Becerra, what kind of record does he have on gun ownership in California?
He would prefer that you use a stick. He is very anti-gun. There isn't a gun law or regulation that he is found to oppose. I mean, that's kind of normal for Democrats in this state. I can't think of any elected Democrat who wouldn't be fine with the opinion that the Second Amendment protects muskets and not much else.
Do we have the toughest, prior to this, did we have the toughest law in the country in terms of magazines?
Technically, New York passed a law a couple of years ago which said that the limit on magazines in that state was 7 rounds. The problem is it's not been really enforced. They tried to hit a couple of gun owners who had 10-round magazines with the charge because that New York had lowered it to 7. The problem is that while gun manufacturers have made a lot of 10-round magazines for Californians, because California is still a very large gun market, they hadn't made 7-round ones. So gun owners in New York, they were suggesting, well, you know, just load your 10-round magazine with seven rounds, no more than seven rounds. It didn't quite work because, you know, the cops would say, well, prove to me you've only got seven rounds in that magazine. And, well, popping the magazine out was an illegal search. So
it's a catch-22. All right. Matt Hoy on this broadcast, his website is restrictedarms.com. We'll pick up the conversation and invite your phone calls as we continue. I'm Dave Congleton. This is Hometown Radio. We are in conversation with Matt Hoy. You can read his stuff, as they say, on his website at restrictedarms.com, talking about this federal appeals court that struck down a three-year-old ban on gun magazines capable of holding more than 10 rounds. If you want in on the conversation, please join us. Phone lines are open, 805-543-8830 or 800-549-5832. If you want to react to the ruling. And Matt, I defer to your expertise, and Craig's got expertise on this as well, but just humor me and remind me why magazines have to be so large, why you have to be able to shoot so many bullets.
Well, I think the worry is you never know, you know, if you're in a self-defense situation, you never know what it's going to take to stop the threat. You know, if it's one burglar, if it's two burglars, if you miss, we had that case, I believe it was in Atascadero several years ago, where the people were having a party and seven people showed up to rob everyone and four of them had guns. So if you are one person trying to defend against that and you are limited to 10 rounds and there are four people who are, you know, criminals who, and once again, we need to emphasize this, criminals don't follow California gun laws. You know, they may have 30-round magazines because those are standard in, you know, in AR-15 pattern rifles and whatnot. Another thing to kind of note that caused some problems with this law passed in 2016 that banned possession of large capacity magazines was there are several handguns. There are hundreds of handguns where the standard magazine that comes with those handguns is more than 10. And there are older handguns that are not manufactured anymore that were made with magazines that hold more than 10. If you ban, you know, magazines that hold more than 10 and say, hey, you've got to get rid of them, you've essentially not just taken the magazine away, you've taken the gun away from those people because, you know, people aren't manufacturing. It's not like, you know, classic car parts or something. There's no one manufacturing magazines for models of firearms that were discontinued 40 years ago.
All right. Should there be any limits on magazine size for a gun?
I'm not going to go into that. I don't think it's very important, really. There's a lot of focus on, oh, magazine, and this is the justification behind magazine bans as far as, you know, how many rounds they can hold, is that, you know, some criminal will use them to, you know, murder a bunch of innocent people. Well, that's, you know, if you look at the statistics, it's so rare. It makes the news all the time, but it's so rare that it actually happens. You go and look at FBI statistics, the number of people killed with rifles of any kind, you know, let's not even, you know, do scary black rifles of any kind, and shotguns, they're all in one category, is fewer than people who are beaten to death with hands and fists and feet each year.
So when we had this ban, did we see any difference in the gun statistics where, I don't know, fewer people killed, fewer crimes committed? Did it make any difference at all, Matt?
No. Murder rate and the gun violence rate in California started going down in the mid-90s and has continued downward for over 20 years. It started before they did this large capacity magazine ban. And, you know, the most recent mass shooting in California that I can recall is the one in San Bernardino. And both those people had illegally acquired 30-round magazines in the rifles they used. You know, these laws, you know, you keep on going back to the law-abiding people are the ones disadvantaged by this because they try and follow the law. They don't want to go to jail. The criminals don't care.
All right, let's get a call in before the break. Mark's in San Luis on KVEC. Hi, Mark.
Hi, gentlemen. Great show. Matt, I don't know that much about the gun thing. I own guns, but it's been 30 years since I've really shot. But I looked at the more restrictive state laws in crime, and New York had 55 shootings last weekend and 6 deaths, and they have among the strictest magazine use and so forth. So I'm not sure it's magazines. I think it has to do, what I can look at the overall trends in the different states, it has to do how the law is being perceived and enforced in the states. So I'm not sure the magazines, but I don't know what I would do with more than 10 rounds in anything. But anyway, I just wanted to point that out, and thank you.
Yeah.
What do you say?
Well, he's right. I think, you know, when it comes to, you know, crimes committed with guns, it's these, you know, magazine laws and laws against, you know, so-called assault weapons. You know, those aren't the things that tamp down on or that reduce gun violence related deaths. Let's remember again, you know, with those gun violence numbers, about 2/3 of them are suicides. Okay, those are tragic, but you know, you don't see, in an effort to reduce suicides, you don't see the government limiting the length of rope that you can have, that you can buy in a hardware store. It's because they can be, you know, rope can be used for legal things. Rope can also be used to hang yourself. And it's the same sort of thing. The magazine limits, the limits on what kind of firearms you can have as far as what they look like, it doesn't make people safer. It gives people some, you know, some self-assurance, but it's you know, the people who are following the law aren't the people who are going out there and shooting people.
Yeah. Mark, anything else you want to say before the break?
I just one quick point. Since COVID and the riots, gun sales are up 85% in the United States. There is such a shortage. Part of it has been because of lack of production, but the buying is so heavy, it's hard to get certain pistols and ammunition anywhere in the United States right now. Anyway, thank you. Great show.
All right, Mark, thank you. I'll give Matt a chance to respond to that. First, let's go to California Headline News and then ABC Radio News. Craig updates us on time saver traffic and weather together. We'll continue our conversation with Matt Hoy. His website, again, is restrictedarms.com. More of your calls on the horizon. We're live. We're local. This is Hometown Radio. Don't forget to start your Wednesday morning off with First Look. Andy Morris and Scott Taylor have you covered everything you need to know to get you out the door from 6 to 9, followed by Mr. Rush Limbaugh from 9 until noon, followed by Dave Ramsey from noon until 3. Craig and I will be back at 3:05 with a Wednesday edition of Hometown Radio. We are in conversation with Matt Hoy. His website is restrictedarms.com. Talking about the federal appeals court that struck down a 3-year-old ban on gun magazines capable of holding more than 10 rounds of ammunition. If you want in on the conversation, please join us. 805-543-8830 or 800-549-5832. Before the break, Mark called in and was talking about the explosion in gun purchases with COVID-19. What's your reaction to that?
No, he's right. When we first started, you know, kind of talking about this, and I think I did my first interview with you, you know, remotely, you know, going into gun shops, the cupboards are bare. They continue to be bare from everything I've heard, seen, and heard. And you know, purchasing ammunition is also very, very tough right now. If I think there's a couple of gun-related podcasts that have been talking about, you know, if you ask if you're an FFL and you ask your dealer, I like 10 cases of 9mm, and I said, well, if I give you 10 cases and there's four other guys, I can't give any, so you're only getting one, or, you know, if you're lucky. So the COVID-19 has, you know, a lot in several states, you know, they said gun manufacturers are not essential businesses, so they have been closed down. They have not been making guns, but there are lots of people who look at the rioting, the violence, the spike in murders and gun crimes in a lot of major cities because police are pulling back because people, they aren't getting, you know, support from the politicians. You know, people are buying them. The question is for all those new gun owners, is that going to impact how they vote come November?
Yeah. On the Stolberg Law KVC text line, a listener basically wants to know what happens now as a result of this decision. What's your prediction?
Well, there's a couple things that can happen. Attorney General Becerra has until August 28th, which is 10 days from now, not this Friday, but next Friday, I believe, to request an in-bank hearing. That would be 11 judges on the Ninth Circuit to hear it.
And what is an in-bank hearing?
It's again, this ruling was made by a three-judge panel. Usually, that is kind of the final step on something like this. Is, you know, if you appeal the Ninth Circuit, three-judge panel looks at it, makes a ruling, and that's that. The parties can ask for an in-bank panel, which for every circuit except the Ninth means they want every judge to, you know, sit on a panel and listen to arguments and make a ruling. The Ninth Circuit is so big and has so many judges, an in-bank panel is 11 of them. And it's the Chief Justice, who is a Clinton appointee, plus 10 other justices chosen at random. Donald Trump has nominated quite a few conservative justices to the Ninth Circuit. It is not as liberally weighted as it was 4 years ago, but it's still not a majority of more conservative justices on the Ninth Circuit. So, if I had to make a prediction, Becerra will ask to go in bank. They'll allow it and they'll overturn this. But that's my skeptical opinion.
We'll come back to that. Here's George in San Luis. Hey, George.
Hey guys, how
hey,
we doing?
Good, thanks.
Doing good. Something I wanted to ask you about, Matt. This is along the same lines. I've got a Gewehr 98 that the Germans in World War One welded on I believe it's an 08-15 magazine that holds 20 rounds. Is that going to give me any trouble here in California?
I hope you're not using your real name. I talked to a lawyer. I don't know. That's considered a curio or relic firearm. It's more than 50 years old, I'm sure.
Yes.
It's got a fixed magazine. Here's the thing. California's gun laws are so complicated and so convoluted, almost by design, that it's not easy for me to tell you, oh, yeah, that's legal, or, oh, no, that's not illegal.
Mm-hmm.
But here, let's get to the topic, guys. George, what do you think about what the court decided about the magazine limitations?
Well, I'll tell you what, I think the limitations on the magazines imposed by California were idiotic. I'm glad that it's been lifted. I just hope that our attorney general doesn't get his way, because like you said, we'd be lucky to have flintlocks.
George, hang on a second. Craig has a question. Craig?
Yeah, from World War One, does that use a magazine or does it use a clip?
Okay, it would normally be a clip, but they took a bunch of the Gewehr 98s and they welded 20-round magazine on it. That was a modification made by the Germans in World War One.
Now it gets even more mysterious.
Yeah. I know.
That sounds like a reasonably rare gun. That probably cost you a pretty penny.
It's not too many of them show up. The other one is, do we still have to go through an FFL dealer to have ammunition sent from out of state?
And what is FFL, guys?
Federal Firearms Licensee.
Okay. Yes, you do. Okay. Unless you have an 03 FFL license of your own, which is for curio and relic collectors, mm-hmm. and a certificate of eligibility from the state of California. If you have those two things, you can order ammunition directly to your home online. The problem is there aren't a whole lot of online ammunition vendors who mm-hmm. want to deal with the paperwork to sell to Californians.
Yeah, because I know some of this ammo's like hen's teeth, like the 7.62-45 Czech ammo. Good luck trying to find that.
Yeah. All right, George, good luck. Thanks for sharing the stories. 805-543-8830, or call us toll-free at 800-549-5832. Matt Hoy back on Hometown Radio. His website is restrictedarms.com. Here's Eric on KVEC. Hi, Eric.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Hi.
Hey, two quick questions, or one's not a question, one's just a point. I've had, 30 and 50-round clips in the past. I don't have them anymore, and it was living out in the country, it was just a shoot. Basically, I used to do a lot of target shooting. That's all I used those rounds for, and it was really just not to have to load. And people say, why do you need it? I mean, it's a convenience, but so is having a sports car that can go 150 miles an hour. You can't legally do anything. You know what I mean? I don't really see the difference. And I don't see a lot of crimes with high-capacity clips. Not that it has never happened, but you don't really see it too often. The question I had, and I think you kind of went over it just now, but I missed part of it when I was calling in, is I have a 30 carbine with a 30-round, I have a couple 30-round clips. It's for the 1940s. I don't know if that's considered an antique. The actual clips are in Nevada at a house I have over there, because when everything changed, I just took the whole gun over there. If I'm going to shoot it, I'm going to shoot it.
When the law changed, Eric said, screw it, I'm just going to go buy a house in Nevada.
Well, it's a family-owned home, but yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if that's still considered kind of the antique of sorts or not, being in 1940s.
As far as California law is concerned, a 30-round magazine is a 30-round magazine is a 30-round magazine. It doesn't matter if it's for an antique firearm. It doesn't matter if it was manufactured in 1920 or 30 or whenever it was manufactured. If it holds more than 30 rounds, it's illegal. We've got this decision. They have not finalized it. Do not bring those magazines back from Nevada, because that would be illegal at this point.
Okay.
So leave them where they are. You can't bring them back into the state just yet.
Eric, I'm curious, how big of a clip do you need?
I when you're out there with it is an antique weapon, but it is a weapon of war, and I just enjoy shooting it, and sometimes unloading a clip on a stressful day is just what you need on a stressful day. It's not, personal protection, I have a shotgun in my house. I don't need a 30-round shotgun. If somebody breaks in, that's going to clear my hallway. if need be. And I'm not saying I would do it, but I mean, if somebody broke in with, in the middle of the night, they might have a 12 gauge, three shots of a 12 gauge is going to clear my hallway. I don't consider that personal protection for myself. Just enjoy shooting it, and I enjoy not having to load the gun every 5 seconds.
Yeah. And Matt, you were saying that pretty much earlier.
I look at it as cars. Okay. You can go drive a Ferrari that'll go 200 miles an hour. You can't drive that on the street. Why aren't those illegal?
Go ahead, Matt.
For a lot of people, the time they can spend at a shooting range or something is limited. And so it's really nice for them if they can load up a bunch of magazines at home, shoot the magazines empty at the firing range, and then not have to you know, spend their time at the range reloading magazines. So, you know, that's something that's you know, very common for that. And again, you know, let's not get too focused on rifles and, you know, 30-round magazines for rifles, because a lot of the things from self-defense standpoint that are impacted by this are guns like the Glock 17, which in every other state except California, Hawaii, and a handful of others holds 17 rounds as default.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's lots of handguns, and when we say there's been a ban on them, there's been a ban on them for, excuse me, I'm using the term, the hoi polloi, the common people. Cops can buy guns that have more than 10 rounds in them and have been the entire time.
Yeah. Eric, anything else from you?
That's it, sir.
Okay. All right, sir. Thank you. We'll come back for a final segment with Matt Hoy. That website is restrictedarms.com. We're live. We're local. This is Hometown Radio. Top of the hour, it's ABC Radio News. We're on our final segment with Matt Hoy from restrictedarms.com. Craig, we haven't heard from you all hour. You're a big gun guy.
Yeah.
What do you think of the court decision?
Well, so far, so good. But, you know, we know how this goes. It's going to get kicked up and up and up until it finally goes to the Supreme Court. And then we're going to have to figure it out. And I wish there was some politicking that could go on with this. I wish that we could have, you know, an exchange. What does one side want? You know, they want to limit access. What does the other side want? They want more guns. Well, how's a way that we can limit access while at the same time giving the other side what they want? And that's why I'm always pushing for, and I agree with, if we had universal background checks from every single state, it's a federal law, universal background checks in exchange for national reciprocity or equal firearms laws in every single state, that would be something I could get behind, because as a gun owner, I know that if I'm going from one place and I have a concealed carry permit, if I drive into the next city, there is recently Philadelphia. If you're in Philadelphia, even if you have a concealed carry permit from one place, it's not good there, and you are now breaking the law.
So you want to federalize all the gun laws?
I want all gun laws, because it is in the Constitution, a right guaranteed us. So it is a federal, it should be a federal law. And also the background check should be a federal one-stop check, so that way we don't have to worry about different places with different information.
What do you think, Matt?
I could live with that.
You sound reluctant, though.
You know, it's if that was the extent of the laws, I could live with it. In fact, I'd probably be enthusiastic about it if that were the extent of the laws. I don't see that happening. You know, Craig talked about, you know, and he's right, this isn't the final word. It'll get kicked up. The thing with it getting kicked up potentially to the Supreme Court is the Supreme Court has indicated that it doesn't want to have anything to do with the Second Amendment and is perfectly willing to let, you know, various states and judicial districts kind of duke it out. And frankly, if Attorney General Becerra, if he can't get the in-bank to take it and reverse it, I don't think he'll take it to the Supreme Court. I think he'll take the loss, because that would give the Supreme Court a chance to do what it frankly should be doing, which is saying that strict scrutiny applies when we're talking about the Second Amendment, just like it applies when you're talking about anything in the First Amendment or the Fourth Amendment. Right now, we've got a bunch of circuit courts and around the country that say they're applying intermediate scrutiny when they're really doing rational basis, and they will okay anything any anti-gun politician brings before them.
Yeah.
Yeah, another situation that I always have to deal with is wanting to buy a gun that is not legal in California, and that goes back to equal firearms laws for every state. And you look at California, there's guns that do the exact same thing. A Colt 1911 does the exact same thing as a Springfield, you know, XDE. It shoots this, you know, similar rounds. You can get the same caliber. Everything's exactly the same, but one's not legal. Or you can have a gun, and this actually happened recently. I was in a gun store, and I said, what's the difference between these two guns? And they said, well, this one's not legal in California because it was green. And not that green is an illegal color, but when they were making it legal to do the testing and everything you had to do licensing, they had to separately license the green color from the black color, making it illegal to own in California.
Your government at work. If you want in on this conversation with Matt Hoy, we need to hear from you now, please. 805-543-8830 or 800-549-5832. I'm told that Kamala Harris, we were talking about her earlier, that Senator Harris makes an opinion in this narrative.
Yeah, she makes an appearance in the majority opinion as kind of evidence that, hey, you may need more than the 10 rounds allowed in California. They quote a statement of Kamala Harris before congressional committee where she points out that some people, especially in communities of color, do not trust law enforcement and are less likely, over 40% less likely, according to one study, to call 911 even during emergencies.
All right.
And that's a stat that Kamala Harris brought up in a hearing. And they point out that, you know, those citizens that are reluctant to call police may need more rounds and may need more, you know, that for self-defense.
All right. We got Garth on KVEC. Hi, Garth.
Hi. How's it going, Dave?
Good, thanks. What's up?
Going well.
I'm wondering if anybody has brought up today, I've been listening for a short time, but the origin of the Second Amendment.
Meaning?
Well, does anyone understand what the Second Amendment started for originally? I mean, do they know how it came into being? A little history for you. The Second Amendment came into being. It was intended to protect slaveholders to use militias to keep blacks in control. So it's interesting that we're talking about, you know, this subject on right now when we're talking, you know, having other racial issues in the country and everything. But the Second Amendment was directly started to keep slaves in line.
Man, yeah, hang on a second.
It wasn't put in to, you know, let citizens commit federal tyranny or, you know, any other reason. I mean, that's the basic reason. So that's where we're...
Hang on, Garth. Let Matt respond. Yeah. Matt, what do you say?
Ahistorical Bolshevik storytelling.
It's completely...
Gun control was designed to keep blacks and other minorities from having guns. That's what gun control... That's the history of gun control. That Second Amendment stuff you're spewing is revisionist history. There's plenty of background that you can look about that the Founding Fathers, what they said about that, had nothing to do with slaves. You've been reading the 1619 Project, which was full of garbage.
You're incorrect. It had everything to do with slavery. It's very well recorded.
It's not. I'm sorry. This is a lie. This is revisionist history. It's not a word of it's true.
This works better one
at a
time.
Dan, you don't know what you're talking about.
Garth, where's a good source? Garth, where's a good source to find your version?
Anywhere you want. I mean, it's so common that, I mean, to name one source is ridiculous. I mean, it's history. It's not history they teach you in school because, you know, our history books in this country are, there's three companies that, you know, basically come up with all the history books.
All right, so you contend the Second Amendment is all about the right to keep guns so we can keep slaves in their place.
Exactly. That is the reason that it started.
All right.
And there's no debate about that.
All right, Garth, thank you. Matt, you obviously don't believe him.
Well, because it's not. I mean, you can go and look and see what Madison and the others, Founding Fathers, said about it. Had nothing.
Okay. Why do these guys always call it the last minute? Why can't they call it 6:15? George is in Santa Margarita. Hey, George.
Hello, Dave.
Hey, George.
I got to say, I really go along with the Second Amendment being federally enforced and disallow the states from their own interpretation of the Constitution. I wholeheartedly feel that reciprocity should be across the country, and I think the feds need to regulate firearms, not the states.
So you're not a big states' rights guy, George?
No, well, I mean, pretty soon the states will tell you how to vote. Just go on down the list.
All right, George, what do you say to that, Matt?
Again, that's something I could probably live with. If there, the danger with that is again, it's who's making the rules. You know, is it the rules made when, you know, Trump's in power and Republicans, or is it the federal law is made when Nancy Pelosi and Dianne Feinstein and those types are in power? That's what worries me a little bit.
Matt Hoy, always a pleasure. The website is restrictedarms.com. I give you 30 seconds for a final thought, sir.
It's not over yet. We'll probably know in a couple of weeks what the end game is going to be. I personally am not going to hold my breath with this standing. I think it's going to go in bank, and I think they're going to reverse it, and I think the Supreme Court's going to sit on it.
All right, Matt, nice job. Thanks for joining us, sir. And thanks to all of our guests. We thank Dr. James Papp and Dr. Kirsten Rambo and Dr. Kathy Boggs. What is this, a hospital? Nice job by Dan Shadwell. Another nice job by Matt Hoy. Thanks, as always, to Craig Hill for his help. And thanks to you for listening. But really, Garth, next time, call in sooner. We'll see you tomorrow at 3:05. I'm Dave Congleton. Now, Oliver, get out of my chair. I'm coming home. Good night.